Have you ever noticed how love is personified in 1 Corinthians 13? Well, Skip Heitzig says Paul chose to portray love that way for a very good reason.
Notice that love is personified. It says love behaves, love thinks, love rejoices. Now, love cannot do that apart from people. Paul writes this way to make an impact. But this describes loving people. Loving people don't behave rudely. Loving people don't think evil. Loving people don't want their own way. Loving people are not provoked, etc. And so we understand that love, being far more than an emotion or a feeling, it's a set of choices that are made to do and not to do certain activities.
Make the connection.
Walt Disney's classic animated movie Cinderella contains a beautiful song called So This Is Love. Part of the lyric states, "So this is what makes love divine," which pretty well sums up what most people want from love. It seems strange, however, that in pursuit of that divine experience, many leave out the one who is truly divine. And Skip Heitzig has some interesting insights to share about love today here on The Connection. But before we get to today's message, we want to remind you with less than 2 weeks till Christmas, you're running out of time to order great gifts like these if you want to have them in time for Christmas Day.
During the holiday season, it can be tough to find time for the very reason we celebrate this season, Jesus Christ.
The way God loves me, that's how I'm going to love you, Jesus says. This rich, beautiful relationship.
Don't let the busyness of the holidays squeeze out your time with Christ. Lenya Heitzig and Penny Pierce Rose have a series of Bible studies called the Fresh Life Series that only take just 20 minutes a day and will take you deeper into the truths of God's Word. This Christmas, you can get the entire collection of all four study guides for $45. Plus, get Lenya's book, Holy Moments, as a bonus.
Generally, we go for a relationship, whereas it tends to be that men will say, well, I'm a banker, or, you know, whatever it is. It's what I do that defines me. But I find that for women, it's who we love that define us.
Just call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org to order all four books for just $45. These studies will provide encouragement and blessings long after the warm glow of Christmas has faded. Plus, explore other great gift ideas such as the DVD edition of Israel, Learning from the Land with Skip Heitzig, or the Explorer's Bible, New King James Version for Kids. You'll find all of these gifts and more in this year's Connection Christmas Catalog. Go to connectionradio.org to find out more or give us a call at 1-800-922-1888.
So with time running out, make sure you stop by connectionradio.org and place your order as soon as you can. You know, the emotion of love is such a popular topic in songs, books, and movies that it's taken on a mysticism of its own. But when one examines the Bible, the veil of mystery is pushed aside, and we can see what love truly is. Stay with us to find out more.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
You don't have to look very hard to find an example of what love is not in today's society. And that's why Skip starts us off in 1 Corinthians 13 with an example of what love really is.
David Roper gave a clever little poem, and he wrote, "Paul's girl is rich and haughty. My girl is poor as clay. Paul's girl is young and happy. My girl looks like a bale of hay. Paul's girl is smart and clever. My girl is dumb but good. But would I trade my girl for Paul's? You bet your life I would." Now, we hear that and we think, no, that's not love. That's very shallow. There are many examples of what love is not, the negative side of it. There are certain names that when you hear them, just the very name conjures up the very antithesis of love. They would send a chill up your spine. Timothy McVeigh showed an act that would hardly be called loving when he killed 168 people with the Oklahoma City bombing, 19 of which were babies and toddlers. And he called the babies and toddlers simply collateral damage. Jeffrey Dahmer, who lured 17 men and boys to his apartment, killed them, cannibalized them, and then stored their body parts. Susan Smith, who strapped her two children in the back seat of her car and drove it into a lake where they drowned and she survived. Adolf Hitler, killing 6 million Jews to build up his Aryan race, or Cambodian's leader of the Khmer Rouge, Pol Pot, killing 1.7 million of the elite and the educated to rid his country of modern influences. Those names, we hear them and we think that those are the personifications of evil. That is not love. Those are choices that are horrible choices that were made. Those are monsters. I mentioned those names in particular because those are the very names that were in this article in this last Newsweek. And the title is striking. It says evil in big red letters. And underneath, what makes people go wrong? And these very people that I mentioned were featured. But what was striking to me is the article said this: researchers are reaching a far more chilling conclusion. Most people have the capacity for evil. The traits of temperament and character from which evil springs are as common as flies on carrion. One of those who was interviewed was Robert Simon. He is the professor of psychiatry and law at Georgetown University. And he said, "The capacity for evil is a human universal. Within us all are the roots of evil." He continued, "The unmistakable lesson is that ordinary, good people, devoted to their families, to their religion, and to their country, are capable of inflicting horrific harm." What the article basically said, as I just mentioned, is what the Bible has said for a long time. This article acknowledged what the Bible would see as the depravity of man, that man has fallen, that we are all sinners by first our nature, second by our choice. And the article simply confirms that. Now, did any of these people that I just mentioned, did they ever love? Do you think Timothy McVeigh or Jeffrey Dahmer or Susan Smith ever said to somebody, "I love you"? Sure they did. And that's just the point. Those words so easily fall from lips. It's easy to say, it's very hard to do. Verse 5 and 6 we're going to look at this morning, because love is put again in the negative, what love is not. And just like we could look at those things and say, that is not love, the apostle says in verse 5, love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, it is not provoked, it thinks no evil, it does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. When love is present, these certain things are not present: rudeness, selfishness, provocation, outbursts of anger, etc. Notice that love is personified. It says love behaves, love thinks, love rejoices. Now, love cannot do that apart from people. Paul writes this way to make an impact, but this describes loving people. Loving people don't behave rudely. Loving people don't think evil. Loving people don't want their own way. Loving people are not provoked, etc. And so we understand that love, being far more than an emotion or a feeling, it's a set of choices that are made to do and not to do certain activities. Remember that song a few years ago? It was on every radio station. Tina Turner sang it. What's Love Got to Do with It? What's love? I won't do it. Though I get very tempted. But it would like ruin the whole message. But she said, what's love got to do with it? What's love but a secondhand emotion? Well, that's so wrong. It's not a secondhand emotion. It's a first-hand set of actions. That is the point Paul makes over and over again. It is decisive. And as those people like Dahmer and McVeigh and Smith and Hitler and Pol Pot all did, is they made choices to not demonstrate love. But a loving person will make choices not to demonstrate these traits. And so we see that this describes people. This is how loving people behave. This is what loving people want. This is what loving people will withstand. This is what loving people think. And this is what makes loving people happy. And so let's look at these one by one, shall we? How loving people behave. First on the list, love does not behave rudely. There's a whole sermon in just that phrase. Now, when you hear that, love doesn't behave rudely. Don't just think of somebody who's a slob, who slurps his soup or belches or never brushes his teeth. Think of somebody who is insensitive to others. That's the rudeness that Paul has in mind. And I think in his mind, he is thinking about the Corinthians whom he is writing to, because they were rude. They were rude at church. Did you know that? A few chapters back, Paul says, now when you guys get together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, you have communion. And they would have their potluck suppers, their love feasts. Paul says, in eating, each one of you takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry and another is drunk. Can you imagine being that way at church? Coming in, stuffing yourself, going ahead of others, and then getting drunk. God bless you, brother. At church. When a man was trying to get some peace and quiet by reading the paper in his study, he heard his daughters playing outside with their friends, and they were getting louder and louder and calling each other names, and then they started pulling each other's hair and acting very rude to each other, and he tried to put a stop to it, and his daughter said, it's okay, Daddy, we're just playing church. That could be an example for the Corinthian church. But love does not behave rudely. You see, real love has a kind of fitness to it. There's tact. It's polite. There's an etiquette. You might say love has no unloveliness to it. Whatever happened to words like please, thank you, excuse me, sir, ma'am? Oh yeah, those are those ancient words. Yeah, unfortunately. Just common courtesy. And also, I would say that among some believers, Christians, there is an odd, weird, awkward sort of holiness among some. Some think that to be holy is to act unlovely, to point fingers, to have the furrowed brow. We make so much about grace, don't we? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But what happens after you're saved? Why does grace suddenly leave the church? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that is keeping a wretch like me as well. We talk so much about grace before salvation, but what about afterwards? We can become very peevish and small and unforgiving. But love doesn't behave rudely. And William Barclay translated this verse, love does not behave gracelessly. In other words, love is gracious. There's a grace to those who exercise it. We humans, we will act rude sometimes, and then we will justify our rudeness. We have a good reason to be rude, you see. And then we give our rationale. Now you know what that's like. When you have children, and they grow up, and self comes out, and they do something wrong, then they say, well, that's because he did this. That's why I did that. I'm rude because my brother or sister or you, my parents. And then what's really bad about that is that we don't seem to lose that in adolescence. We just sort of hang on to that through adulthood and continue to make rationale about being rude. I decided to ask a couple of my assistant pastors this week about the crowd management around here and what it's like between services. I said, what are people like? And this isn't everyone. Just do you ever get anybody that's rude? Now, of course, not this service. This is, you're completely exempted from any of this. This would not apply to any of us. They said, Skip, you wouldn't believe what we hear. One said, I've had people stand in the back and cuss me out as they're making their way into church. A couple of people threaten violence. And some of them, they told me, while their children are next to them. You let my child in church or I'm going to take you out. Now, what kind of a legacy is that?
Son, I just want you to remember, I beat up that usher to get you into church when you were younger.
How rude. How rude. How thoughtless. How careless. And what are you passing on to your kids? You hear about the little boy who was driving with his father, and his father was a very vocal driver, a very short-tempered, swore, fumed at all the other drivers on the road. And they took a drive one day, came back home later that afternoon. Mom took the same child for a drive, very peaceful, calm, serene drive. Finally, the young boy spoke up, Mom, where are all the idiots? She said, pardon me? He goes, yeah, we counted 7 of them this morning when I was with Dad. You know that Christians can ruin their testimony by being rude? Unbelievers hear it, watch it. You can totally spoil your representation of Christ to an unbeliever by rudeness, just like you can enhance it by politeness. I'm going to read a story to you, and I want you just to take a fresh listen to this. It comes out of the Gospel of Luke. It's the night Jesus was invited to Simon the Pharisee's house. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to eat. Behold, a woman in that city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. She began to wash his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Did you notice he said that to himself? This is his thought life. And that's very interesting because it says, Jesus answered him, which must have blown his mind. Simon, I have something to say to you. Master, say it. There was a certain creditor who had 2 debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to pay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one to whom he forgave more. And Jesus said, you've rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. That was common courtesy that was withheld. Every host would wash the feet of his guest or have it done. But she's washed my feet with her tears. She's wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss. Again, common courtesy, withheld. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, they're forgiven. She loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. What Jesus is saying to this Pharisee is, Simon, you were rude. You showed me no common courtesy. All the things that you should normally, naturally, you completely withheld from me. And you judge this woman in your thoughts. And I'm going to tell you something, Simon. It's not this woman's presence. It's not her attitude that is the problem. It is yours, Mr. Spiritual Man. He's the Pharisee. He's the spiritual leader. But it was his rudeness of a spiritual man that ruined his witness before this unspiritual woman. Sour looks, complaining words, all of those negative comments that are made only make unbelievers glad to be unbelievers and not a believer. Nothing to attract them. So love isn't rude. Second on the list, this is what loving people want. This is what loving people want. What do they look after? What do they seek? Love does not seek its own. In other words, it's not selfish, self-consumed, doesn't think about its own way. How can I get my way? What about my rights? How often have you heard that phrase in the last months, years? I have every right, my personal rights. You know where that started? With Adam and Eve. That's where this whole thing about seeking its own started, way back in the garden. Personal rights. You see, Adam and Eve, for some reason, felt like their personal rights were being hindered by God. Because God said, I'm giving you all of this garden. You can freely eat of it except one tree. Stay away from that one. Why should we stay away from that one? If you're a God of love, why should we stay away? What are you hiding from us?
Well, if we want to experience a love that makes life divine, we need to follow the example of the one who lived a life of divine love. And speaking of love, we have a few gift ideas for the loved ones in your life this Christmas. So before we go, here are just a few of the special items we have on sale right now. Right now, here's the producer of the Christmas CD, A Star Shine Bright, Joey Belleville, to share a bit more about the project.
Hey, this is Joey, and I was blessed with the opportunity to produce this record, A Star Shine Bright. And I'll tell you about one really special moment in recording Oh Holy Night with Sarah Mason. We were recording at my studio. It was nighttime in the summer. We recorded her acoustic guitar, and just on a whim, I was walking outside to grab her a drink of water, and I could hear all kinds of crickets outside, and it seemed like such a beautiful, beautiful sound. I said, hey, I got a cool idea. What do you think about this? And I put a sweatshirt on her, and I threw her outside in the dark, and I had her sing the song outside with the crickets. And so when you hear the outside ambient noise and the crickets that are in that song, they were actually right there. She was singing outside, and it was as if she was giving the entire city a lullaby, a beautiful, beautiful lullaby to go to sleep to.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. Oh, this is the night of our dear Savior.
Order your copy of As Stars Shine Bright for just $9 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Plus, be sure to check out our other special holiday offers, including great gifts for the kids, such as the Explorer's New King James Version Bible for just $25. You'll find all these great holiday offers in our exclusive holiday catalog available at connectionradio.org. And with any order of $40 or more, we'll also send you a free Connection 2010 calendar featuring pictures taken by Skip Heitzig. Plus, shipping for all orders is just a flat $5. Find out more in our holiday catalog at connectionradio.org or ask us to email you our catalog when you call 1-800-922-1888.
And keep in mind that this is the final week to order those gifts and still get them in time for Christmas. So make sure you place your orders before this week is over. Well, I hope you're enjoying this series on what love truly is. And don't forget that you can order today's message at our website, connectionradio.org, or by calling 1-800-922-1888. You can also order this entire series, The Royal Road of Love, when you contact us, which would make a great gift this Christmas for anyone you may know who has a question about what true love really is. Find out more when you look through our Christmas catalog at connectionradio.org or call us today, 1-800-922-1888. We look forward to hearing from you, and thanks again for your support of this ministry. You know, as the year winds down here at The Connection, we're looking forward to 2010. We're all tied up with Christmas and the holidays, but would you make a mental note that on Monday, January 4th, you can join Skip Heitzik as he takes off on a flight through the entire Bible? It's the Bible from 30,000 feet, and it will take about 6 months. We'll launch on the first Monday in January, so plan to join us for Genesis and the Bible from 30,000 feet.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Join us again tomorrow for more on how we can not only say the words of love, but also show that love in the way we act towards everyone, every day. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth and ever-changing times.